Joining me is NYPD officer and Met PGA professional Enzo Rallo. Welcome to Talking Golf, Enzo. How are you?
Good morning, Ann. How are you? I'm doing great.
Good, 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 good. Did you get any golf in this weekend yet?
Actually, I just ran my first event. It was Veterans versus NYPD. We had a 2-day Veterans Ryder Cup Friday and Saturday. So it was 27 holes on Friday and another 18 yesterday.
Oh, how did it go?
Went great. Everybody had a great time. Huge shout out to the VGA. Tons of veterans had a great time, and it was just a lot of fun, a lot of good golf, a lot of camaraderie. Just a overall, just awesome weekend of golf. Couldn't ask for
Where
better
did you
weather.
have it, Enzo?
So for the inaugural event, we just felt we wanted to make it as patriotic as possible, hence the weekend. And we did it at Patriot Hills in Stony
Nice.
Point. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I want to tell your story because it's just an incredible one. First of all, a little bit about you. When did you become a police officer?
I became a police officer in 2013. January of 2013 is when I swore in.
Did you always want to be a police officer?
Ever since 9/11, I know I wanted to do something to give back and do something of that nature. But it really kind of just I fell in love with golf at a later age than I guess normal for someone that is choosing golf as a career. So I don't know. It was kind of a mix. I definitely was more since 9/11.
Okay. All right. And so when did you become a Met PGA golfer?
I picked up golf in, oh man, I want to say it was 2001, about when I was about 15 years old. And thanks to a Met section pro, as a mentor and my first boss, I got fairly good fairly quick. Within like a year and a half of picking up a club, I was down to just about a scratch and was able to go to Penn State PGM program for golf.
That's awesome. So, how many are there? Are you rare in the NYPD industry to be also a PGA pro? I can't imagine it's something that a lot of people can do both.
So as far as I know, unless there have been more since, I think it's just myself, and I think there is one female that's LPGA down in like the Arizona area, maybe somewhere, that does law enforcement and is a pro. But other than that, I don't think I know of any.
Wow, I know. Just combine two talents like that is so rare. And this past February, you and a couple of fellow police officers saved the lives of 12 people. Can you tell us that story?
So my partner and myself normally work an afternoon to like the midnight shift, and we got rescheduled to do a morning shift. So that day we were in charge of looking after, three different buildings that weren't normally our area of coverage. We went to the first building, did an interior patrol there, which basically is when we take the elevator all the way up, spiral down the staircase on the way down, and just make sure everything's good, that there's no problems. Got done with that first building, and my partner pulled the car up in front of the second building, a stone's throw away from it. And we heard kind of loud noises, but people are having, whatever parties they're gonna have, so we didn't really think too much of it. And then it persisted, so we got out of the car, and as soon as we got out of the car, we saw people yelling out of the windows that, the building was on fire. And they were on the fourth floor, so they just kind of yelled out, their apartment numbers. And as soon as they did that, we just looked at each other and we kind of knew it was, game time, and we had to act right away. We ran to the building, ran up to the fourth floor where we were being directed to, and as soon as my partner opened the door to the floor, it was just a wall of black smoke. So, obviously we don't have the kind of apparatus or anything that FD has, so we just decided we're going to do one in and one out, which is where you use whatever oxygen you have until you're getting uncomfortable, come back out, let your partner go in, and just kind of keep like tag teaming it that way. My partner went in first. He was starting to direct people out with his flashlight through the smoke, towards me at the doorway. And I was met with a young mother and her child, and she looked like she was going to collapse, and handed me the child. So I ran the child down, got her down, came back up. My partner directed someone else to another one of our partners that backed us up, the first unit that was there. And Officer Alam carried someone down that had a broken leg, and he carried them down 3 flights of stairs and out the back to safety. So it was a really good effort by everybody. You know, came back up. There was another father that had two, I don't know if they were twins or just super close in age, but two very small children. He collapsed when he got to the third floor landing. The firefighter took one of his kids. I took the other kid, brought him down to the car, kept him warm in the car. But yeah, it was really just a great effort by everyone. All our you know, men and women that are in my precinct are just aces. The backup is just always awesome. It's next to, you know, next to none. FD got there, they did their thing, and it was really just really great to see everybody get out pretty much unscathed for the most part.
Unbelievable. You guys are all heroes, really. What an effort. What an incredible effort. You know, just keep up the great work. It's just amazing. I have so much respect, you know, for law enforcement, for the fire department, Enzo. But I do want to ask you, obviously, you know, you've seen and heard about Scottie Scheffler's arrest in Louisville. And, you know, personally, I think the arresting officer acted over the top in pulling him out of the car, shoving him against the vehicle, cuffing him. There is some video of this now that came out. Just wanted to get your reaction when you heard the story.
So when I first heard the story, I was like, and it was like Scottie, I was like, there's no way, like, of all people, Scottie is probably one of the nicest guys I've ever gotten to meet just outside the ropes. So it was kind of like, this has to be a joke. But you know, there's video and stuff, obviously, like you said, that has surfaced. There's always three sides to every story, so I'm not gonna pick a side or get into anything one way or the other. I know personally, the players all have their player cars that are marked with player numbers and everything. What that officer saw or did in the moment, only that officer knows what he was acting to. So I can't, I'm not going to Monday Night Quarterback anybody.
Yeah, I know you can't do that. I do, you know, news has come out that the police officer did not have his body cam turned on. So what happens in New York if an officer does not have a camera turned on?
So for us, it's a mandatory, anytime you're taking any type of police action or really kind of having any type of conversation at this point, you're really supposed to activate your body camera. It's actually not supposed to. It's a must activate. So for us, it's a must activate. If you fail to activate and police action goes on and they find that you failed to activate, you do get some kind of command discipline or higher up discipline. So there always is a repercussion to not following what you're supposed to follow.
Right. I know this officer would receive, in their words, corrective action. But they're not dropping the charges. And they're going to let the judicial process play out. Does that mean anything? I mean, do you think they would have dropped the charges or no?
I mean, again, I don't know how every police department works. Everything's different, especially from a small town to a big city. I don't know how their process plays out, so.
Their attorney, Scottie's attorney, said that Scottie did not do anything wrong. We're not interested in settling the case. We will either try it or it will be dismissed. I would assume Scottie's side just wants to prove his innocence. And maybe if they were to settle, it would indicate that Scottie was admitting guilt. I mean, that's how I look into it. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's the same way on both sides for that. Obviously, you know, I mean, as a golfer myself, if I was in his position, I wouldn't settle, because I feel like that's what it would be admitting that you were in the wrong. And I feel like the police department's probably not going to, or you know, the city's department, you know, part on it is going to play out on their side where they don't, you know, feel they're wrong and they don't want to admit that, you know, they did the wrong. So like I said, there's always three sides to every story, and that's why there's the judicial process. And you know, one will say I wasn't wrong. The other side's going to say I wasn't wrong, and somewhere in the middle, you know, everyone's going to get to figure out what they think was right or wrong.
That's right. We'll let it play out. Well, let us talk about your foundation and the great work you're doing with underserved youth, connecting them to golf.
Sure. So last summer, I started a little program in my coverage area. It's called PGA Bridges. And basically, my goal of it was to use a bridge as an example of what I wanted to do. And basically what that is bridge that gap between law enforcement and the community I serve, between you know, the cops and the kids, between the game of golf and the community I serve. So just all around, I wanted to bridge gaps, like, everywhere. The community that I'm in, obviously I'm in Brooklyn, my coverage area, so there's not a whole lot of grass. It's a lot of concrete. So you get your concrete sports, you know, you get your wall ball, you get your basketball, your football here and there, but pretty much everything revolves around a concrete surface. I just thought there's so much talent that I've seen in these kids where, you know, they're playing ball and these kids have a lot of moves and just a lot of athleticism. And I just really wanted to get a golf club in their hands and see what they could do, because you just never know who's going to be good at what sport until you get it in their hands.
That's right. And golf, you know, they can focus on this sport, and it's just such a great sport to learn at a young age, right? You're doing great things. How have the kids responded to it?
They were super excited. I mean, it was, like I said, it was something different for them. They're used to the standard sports that they get on the concrete, and for them to get a golf club in their hand and see the mini golf course for the first time when I set it up on the initial day, with pool noodles and stuff. Most of the kids that I had there just have never even played mini golf. So, you know, that just struck me really hard, because as a kid, that was always one of my favorite things to do, whether I was visiting family in another state or around here. It was always, you know, asking, you know, our parents or relatives, hey, can you take us mini golf? You know, that was one of my really fun times and memories with my family. And to know that these kids have never even seen a mini golf course, I felt like, you know, I just felt like I had to give them something. And the excitement they had running around on the mini golf course and getting it in when they've never even held a golf club before, and they didn't know what would, you know, getting a mini golf hole or a regular golf hole in one, whatever it is, it was really cool to see.
Ah, well, you're a hero to so many, and you have a great heart. Continued success, officer, and I commend you and your team for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, Anne.